and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday, everybody. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Friday, why, you know what that means. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All 3 hours in the New York Bureau, sexy liberal John Fugel saying, good morning, sir.
Good morning, folks. How are you?
Well, I don't know if you've heard, but yes. We are ripping it up at the box office in New York City at the Beacon for the Sexy Liberal Show.
Do tell.
We beat our one-day sales record in L.A. and Chicago on the very first day on sale at the Beacon Theater in New York City. It's going crazy. I think we only have 4 VIP tickets left, something like that. So go get it. Get it.
Wow.
For the big one. This is the big one. The big
2.5 years.
Yeah.
2.5 years since our last show in New York.
Extravaganza with Hal Sparks, Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, and I. So it's going to be right before the election. So exciting. And who knows who the Republican nominee will be? It's so exciting.
Who knows, indeed?
Things are getting betterer and betterer, aren't they?
You know, back in 1952, the Democrats didn't pick their nominee until the convention when they drafted Stevenson. No major party's done it since then, but Ron Paul fans, you're allowed to do it anytime.
That's right.
I'm just saying. I was saying this yesterday, John, that I've never, at least in my years talking about politics, I have never heard this much talk of maybe he's not going to be the nominee, that there really are enough, like, minefield things that could implode in terms of his taxes or Bain or whatever.
Can you imagine that much super PAC money being wasted? Kind of beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of beautiful. Sheldon.
Sheldon, talking to you.
Yeah, they hate him. It's incredible how much they hate him. And again, his whole staff is just, they're a gaffe crew. I mean, that's all they do is come out and screw up. And then they let Mitt Romney come out and he screws up.
Yeah.
Ann Coulter went on Sean Hannity's show to complain about his advisor. And she said, Sean, there's no point to doing your show if he's going to be like this. Ann Coulter outed that Sean Hannity's show is nothing but propaganda for the right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Oh, and by the way, this is a thing of beauty, this whole, because John, you started it with the Mr. Etch-a-Sketch.
Eric Fernstrom.
Does he not have the worst advisors in the world?
Oh, I know, but Eric Fernstrom looks like...
Kiss my ass, shove it, this is a holy sight guy.
They make Eric Fernstrom look like Tom Hayden from The Godfather.
Right.
He's like the wise consigliere compared to the rest of this mutt crew.
Right, but so here's the thing of beauty in this latest thing, is they're saying that... what was the thing you sent me? Radio silence from Romney Camp.
Right.
We don't even know whether this is, like, deliberate or a screw-up. Like, so, yeah, you've got, like, Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter, they're calling for blood, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
for Andrea Saul,
right,
who's the one
to
who...
be fired.
Right.
But,
yep.
But now they're thinking this might be yet another flip from our favorite flip-flop. Because they're not really sure, because she did it twice.
Yeah, and they're all...
Wait a minute, she did it twice?
Mitt Romney's press secretary, Andrea Saul, turned heads by glowingly citing the Massachusetts health care, blah, blah, blah. So they're saying that they don't know now whether this is part of a new strategy or an accidental aside, because, a lot of them said, oh, that was a script, it was a mistake. But I noticed this, too. She did it twice. Didn't you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
She did 20 within the same 24-hour news cycle and interview, so it wasn't an offhand comment. She did it twice.
So she did it even after people started criticizing her for it?
Yeah.
And she told the truth.
Yeah, well, right.
Yeah.
And
that's
Romney.
It.
Wow.
All of these Romney gaffes are when people on his staff tell the truth.
Yeah. But, I mean, the difference is that then more... I did you notice this yesterday, the Romney press conference? He started mentioning his health care law in a speech. Claiming his work in Massachusetts would help him fix health care in Washington.
Oh, no.
Like, trying sort of finesse that. Like, oh, well, but this is different.
I thought he was just going to simply repeal Obamacare. Now he's going to fix it, but keep it?
Yeah.
He's so desperate, he's having to fall back on the positive things he's done.
I mean, you're going, oh, my God, is there any way he wins politically in this? Like, it looks like he was trying to sort of finesse, like, oh, well, we all know that, you know, there's some things that need to be fixed with health care. And as you know, I have experience doing that. So he mentioned it. So this might be a deliberate strategy. Going, is this like the auto industry where you just go, oh, no, that was my idea? He's like, what? No.
But I did this with my hands.
But he needs to do something because now Obama is winning outside the margin of error, which hasn't happened
before.
Well,
that's the other thing.
9-point lead in a Fox News poll.
No, but that's the other thing is on that issue, Chris, we just did the breakdown, John, of the latest poll and the issues, and he's way out ahead on Romney in health care, so maybe this is deliberate. Like it is stunning. It literally is like... Yeah, I've always been for Romneycare and Obamacare, just like the auto bailout. I mean, it's stunning. So this story, they're saying, as of Thursday afternoon, Romney aides and surrogates offered no explanation to soothe conservative tempers, nor had they indicated that the move was intended to court independents and moderates. So it's just a muddle, basically. It's not even...
He's got Bill Clinton calling him a liar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so funny. It's a great week. It's a great week.
If he embraces Romneycare, he's going to lose his base... So he's cutting off his nose to spite his face in order to get
some independence. And he's going to lose his base for giving health care to sick people like Jesus commanded. It's incredible. It's like it's a circular firing squad.
Ecclesiastical Mook is in the house, everybody.
Yeah.
We'll go into this CNN poll, but that's something. He has a 7-point lead over Romney at this point, and it feels like a downward spiral to me.
It's more like a circular stoning squad.
And you know who's
9-point lead in the Fox poll.
Yeah. And you know who's here to make it worse? Jackie Schechner.
Good morning.
Who is a helper? I know that you don't want to bring bad news for the Romney campaign. However, you did happen to send this story to Chris and I yesterday. As the speculation deepens as to who Harry Reid's source is about Mitt Romney's taxes, and his spokesman came out right and said it's a Republican. And so,
then he walked it back. That's the interesting thing, which makes me think maybe he just overspoke. For lack of a better term, he wasn't trying to correct himself, but they're like, no, don't give that many clues.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but the new rumor is fascinating.
Well, isn't it, Jackie, isn't it? Well, we're going to get to that in a second.
Can I just put on my speculation hat and not my newswoman hat?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because I love this.
They're both very stylish.
And you look great in the speculation
hat,
by the way.
You look super in that hat.
Fantastic.
You look super in both hats.
Dynamite.
Well, this is what I love about the interwebs. So Marcos Melissa's over at Daily Code.
We have a call into him, but go ahead. Yeah,
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'd love for him to talk about it, too. But he has got his speculation up on the blog on Daily Kos that he thinks that it's one of the Huntsmans that is
Huntsman Senior.
Either it's John Huntsman Senior or John Huntsman. Who
is very high up in the LDS Church.
I'll get to the details of what Marcos has. But, Jackie, don't you love this? It's like a murder mystery because everyone hates him. It could be anybody.
The list is so long.
And we're Miss Marple trying to get to the bottom of it.
It was John Huntsman in the library with the truth.
Exactly.
It was Bob Dole in the study with the truth.
So Jackie sent this to Chris and I yesterday. It's John Huntsman Sr., right, Harry? That's scamp, Marcos. That's his headline.
I love him.
But listen to the facts. Harry Reid has a Republican source who told him Mitt Romney didn't pay taxes. Who could have possibly have known that much information? Former Utah Senator John Huntsman's dad sounds like the likely source. John Huntsman Sr., business partners with Robert Gay, who also happens to be Bain's managing director between 1999 and 2004. If anyone knows the machinations Bain used to evade taxes for himself and his partners, it would be the guy in charge of the firm's finances. Huntsman is... Jackie, this is already way more information than, say, Fox uses to go with the story, right?
That's right.
I guess my favorite part of all of this is that nobody's letting up, which is
exactly
what we need to do, is stay on it. And it's fun to speculate who it might be, but I stand by my assertion that Reid would not go out with this if he didn't have somebody he thought was really credible. And I was doing a little bit of research this morning. I don't know if you saw the new ad that the Obama campaign has out that is attacking Romney and his time with Marriott International and the Son of Boss scheme, which is a tax avoidance scheme where Romney was on the board at Marriott, and they engaged in this really shady tax avoidance scheme, and Romney was there and present when that all took place. But as part of that whole ad, they're staying on how many years of taxes did he not pay? How little did he pay? I mean, they're really wrapping this around itself.
Just yesterday, we did on the show the Italian thing where Bain ripped the Italians off, which is why people go to Italy. And there's like these, you know, the El Salvadorian death squads. I mean, I'm going, oh my God. This is like death by 1,000 cuts.
I think a lot of liberals are. But
wait, there's more.
Oh.
So John Huntsman Sr., we'll call him Colonel Mustard. he's also a Republican and Mormon like Harry Reid. As governor of next door Utah, his son likely developed a close working relationship on regional issues. Want more? The Huntsman family gave some serious scratch to Reid's re-election campaign.
Wow.
Interesting.
Call me Abby.
They apparently, I mean, we know that they hate each other. There's been a long rivalry between John Huntsman Jr. and Mitt Romney.
Mormon fight.
Jackie, wasn't it just on whose show? It was on Governor Granholm's show that his daughter just said
she's switching to Democrat.
Right, through the Republican Party under the bus. He's not going to the RNC, as Marcos writes. Sure, the evidence is circumstantial, but still pretty solid, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, and the other thing that came up in the comments on Coase, which I think is fascinating, they said it was Huntsman's daughter who wrote the article at HuffPo with Ryan Grimm that its sources saying Romney wouldn't have run for president if he knew he had to open up his tax filing.
Wow. Right.
So I think that this is, I think you're right, I think it's a death by a thousand cuts. I think these are leaks, and we're starting to get closer as to whom it might be. But regardless, I mean, I think it says a lot about the fact that there's somebody who dealt with him along the way who dislikes him so much that they're willing to put this out there.
Again.
Inconceivable.
Again, the best murder mystery, because everyone in the world hates him. It's like that movie with Jack Black. Remember when he's the gay guy that kills Shirley MacLaine's character? But the whole town doesn't care because everyone hated her?
Oh,
yes,
Bernie?
Which everyone saw.
Yeah, that's a real popular flick.
What the hell are you doing watching
I got
Bernie,
it.
Steph?
I won.
I just saw the trailer, but you guys know what I mean.
Well, can I say why it's so confusing and so disorienting? Harry Reid's behavior is so confusing to so many liberals because they're not used to seeing Democrats go on offense.
Right.
We are seeing something we've never seen in a generation here. And the irony is, if Harry Reid had come out last week and claimed that Mitt Romney was a Muslim born in Kenya who was a socialist with no evidence, Reince Priebus would be forced to defend his right to claim it.
So Reince Priebus is a dirty rotten liar.
Dirty rotten liar, as it turns out, yeah.
When you think about John Boehner going on Meet the Press and saying, well, I disagree with the birthers, but they have a right to say what they believe, and then see how they are in a tizzy over Harry Reid. Harry Reid has just drank their milkshake in the past week. At first I was afraid that it was going to make Harry Reid look bad. He doesn't care. He's never going to run for re-election again. Harry Reid's in his last term.
And
he
John,
doesn't care.
If you watched any of the Republican debates, I would bet on any of them as the culprit because if you look at the way
they
looked at him.
But it could be anyone, because the entire Republican Party hates Mitt. The people giving him tens of millions hate him. He's earned it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, he is the candidate with the most milquetoast endorsements over the years.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Over the months. And, I mean,
I guess he'll
everyone's
do.
Like, I suppose I'll have to back
he'll
him.
He'll do.
And Jackie, I think... That's what we said the bumper sticker would be. Mitt Romney. Meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
Just call him Meh Romney.
Well, but Jackie, to John's larger point, I think that, you know, there's a headline today, I forget where, about how the Democrats got their groove back, but I think it's all part of it. And I think Occupy started it. John and I were going to a lot of those on the Sexy Liberal tour on the road. And, you know, it's that the conversation has become about income inequality, and we have central casting character to for the 1%. So I think you're right. It's
exactly
it's Harry Reid finding his balls, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think, but that was the problem that Progressive had with the president and the Democrats all along, is we wanted them to stand up. We wanted them to be stronger. I think the big complaint over the past few years is the president was doing a lot of compromising in public.
Right.
And there was a lot of sense that we were backing down a lot, or at least the
president. As opposed to most Democrats.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
And you know, now what has come true is what Jim Ward always wanted, that the president has become more Ving Rhames
more
and less...
Ving Rhames than
Morgan Freeman.
I don't remember where I read it, but I read an article that said he genuinely dislikes Mitt Romney. The president, like, genuinely dislikes him as a human, and that's why he's coming out even harder now than he ever would. Like, he respected John McCain as a war hero and as a statesman, but he has no respect for Mitt Romney, and that's why he's coming out a lot harder than
he did. Even more evidence that the president is in touch with what most of us feel.
Yeah.
All right, Jackie Scheckner.
I intend to go all medieval on his ass.
Completely unlike Ann Curry and what's his name, Matt Lauer. We just never want to let you go, but we have to.
I like when you let me play in the sandbox with the other kids.
Yay!
You're like our little Binky. We don't want to let you go.
Jackie, I want to thank you again for coming on stage at the Sexy Liberal Show in L.A. 2 weeks ago, and I want to thank you for coming on the Point, the Young Turk Show that I guess so. So you were dynamite. Everyone needs to watch how brilliant Jackie Scheckner
is.
Yes,
she's brilliant. And I get more pervy fan mail now from people that have been to the live show, people that watch the TV show, friends' husbands. I don't know. It's a whole thing. All right. Thank you, Jackie Scheckner. Love you.
My pleasure.
All right.
Love you guys.
Bye, honey.
Bye.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Hugo Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think your show is absolutely vulgar. I think it's sad. We're
all
trying to raise kids to be respectful. There's no way you're adding to it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Bone thing sticking out of your shoulders? Your bone?
Pardon me? Yeah.
You can get surgery for that.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. It's the Fugelsang. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours. John, you were talking about the Fox poll. I've got the CNN poll. Obama holds a 7-point lead over Romney. This is looking worser and worser.
It is.
Mitt Romney's unfavorable rating is up. Is that possible? Most Americans think the Republican challenger favors the rich. What?
Huh?
The public no longer believes the economy will get better if Romney is elected, according to a new national poll. It all adds up to a 7-point advantage for the president, 52% to 45. Among independent voters, the poll indicates President Obama has a 53-42% lead, said the CNN polling director. The president holds a 9-point advantage among women voters and a smaller 6-point edge among men. John, that's the first poll I've seen. He holds an edge with men. I couldn't hear John Fugelsang.
I hear people in the background. There he is.
Oh, he was. Were you in the toity, John Fugelsang?
Me? No, I was trying to get your show on current TV.
Oh.
Oh, thank you.
So now I can watch you.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Hello. We were talking about the new CNN poll that shows. I was saying I've never seen a poll where that president's ahead with men. He's up 9 points with women and 6 points among men. And among independents, 9 points. I mean, this is getting to be... Who do Americans think will win the election, regardless of which candidate they support? 63% think Obama will win re-election, with one-third saying Romney will win. Oh, dear. In August of previous election years, the public accurately predicted the winner in 96, 2000, and 2008. In 2004, Bush and Kerry were tied.
Mm-hmm. Damn you, Romney. We comedians needed another buffoon in the White House, and you're taking it away from us.
Cordell in Louisville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cordell.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And before I get to what I want to talk about, I got to say Jim and Chris, very hot.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Tell them.
John, why, thank you.
They're handsome, also, romantic.
John, you could say, also very hot.
No.
And I would love to work with you on your new show, so call me.
Well, there you go. John's going to start getting those calls.
Buttering us up before going into the show.
I've known since the early 90s has called me up asking how I'm doing.
Yeah. Trust me.
Hey,
trust me, John.
Your dad died 2 years ago. How you doing, man?
How you doing? Sorry I missed that call. Yeah, John, trust me. Welcome to my world. I'm like, right before we got this show was announced. Hey, how have you been? I'm fine.
It's great. I never knew I had so many friends.
Right.
Oh, I hear you won the lottery.
I really want to talk to about something serious that has been bugging me over the last week.
On this show?
ever since the DNC released that, the Super PAC released that ad about Joe Sopcich, I've been seeing some very hateful and very rude comments about his wife and his situation.
Right? Isn't that amazing they turn on them? I mean, it's just, and to me, I don't even get it, Cordell. What's the difference? It's like no one's saying that Mitt Romney killed her instantly. It's like, yes, she died a few years later. How does that change the story exactly?
I just want to say that, you know, cancer's nothing to joke about. And the reason I'm tearing up is because personally, I'm going through something similar dealing with that. You know, there's a possibility that I may be getting diagnosed with leukemia. And let me tell you something.
You got to think positive now.
I understand. The stress that it puts you through, the way it messes with your psyche, just to see these people say these awful things.
No, I know. They make human beings into political pinatas if they don't fit
They need to cut it out. And stop being mean to people who are facing life-changing conditions because he doesn't know what it does to you.
I know. Hang in there. Sorry, honey, we're at a heartbreak. I'm so sorry, Cordell. Love you, sweetheart.
Not a problem. Oh. Love you guys, too.
Oh, okay. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's super hot and she's so successful, but she has a pug that she pushes around in a stroller.
Hack. How revolting.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Those sultry tones, sultry tones you hear emanating from the New York studio of sexy liberal John Fugelsang. I, of course, am sporting my I'm Too Sexy to Vote Republican cap, which you can purchase on sexyliberal.com. Guess what else you can get at sexyliberal.com going
fresh
fast.
From their star-studded performance in Hollywood.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
The year's hottest political show. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is finally coming to the city that never sleeps, New York.
So you come crawling back to Broadway.
Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
On October 27th, the eve of Election 2012, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will take the stage at Broadway's world-famous Beacon Theater.
There is nothing like the thrill of doing a live show on Broadway.
Featuring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, Aisha Tyler,
Sexy Lady,
and Stephanie Miller. For tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com or call 866-858-0008. Don't miss your one and only chance to see all the sexy liberal comedy players live on one stage. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Beacon Theater.
I love New York. You know why? Because it's open all night.
Yay!
Huzzah!
Huzzah! And there's only I didn't even know a couple of floaty single tickets for next weekend, John, in Columbus, August 18th.
Yes.
A couple of floaties, and then September 29th in Seattle. Going very, very fast.
I'm so excited about Columbus. Show. Can I tell you,
yeah,
man? We work so hard to make Columbus happen.
We're gonna be swinging in that swing state, my friend.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. We're gonna get our Rob Portman freak on.
Blah.
It'll be like a callback to when we were the Good Morning Columbus show.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So, by the way, we finally have reached in the Romney camp. Yeah.
And thanks for playing Grasping for Straws.
Wow. It's the story today. For the months, Mitt Romney seemed to have one focus, bludgeoning President Obama on the economy. Now he started poking Obama from all sides as he looks to gain ground. In recent days, he's criticized Obama in TV ads. I thought it was my imagination that he's all over the place. I'm like, what? Literally, TV ads and speeches on topics that include farm policy, transparency, military voting rights, welfare reform, religious freedom. And they're all pretty much
focus.
Based on lies.
Focus,
people. We're losing daylight here. Focus.
He's got a kitchen sink strategy, and it reeks of desperation. For a guy who's been running for president for 5 years, you'd think he'd have this planned out a bit better.
He seems to be, you know, kind of freestyling, just winging it at this
and
point.
And that's exactly what we want in a president, someone who
yes.
can freestyle.
We want to see a stiff white guy try to freestyle.
Don in Fresno, yeah, it's like, what? He's trying to scat sing. Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Is he ADD? Maybe he
yeah.
can't focus on
has
what?
He ever, is
ooh,
he, if he starts a sentence, as Aretha says, we know that things are going really, really bad. Oh. All right, Don in Fresno.
Hi, good morning.
Hello, Don.
Long time not talk. Hey, oh, before I get to this Romney thing, there's one other thing. You guys were talking about the guns. Real quick, when they go to register a gun, why don't they issue them these cards, these little swipe cards, so every time they buy ammunition, they're kept track of. And then they can have some sort of way of regulating these guys. But
because that might impinge upon the freedoms of the guys who shoot up civilians.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you allowed like 100 bullets a month and somebody goes and buys 1,000, I would expect a police officer to go to that guy's door to want to see what he's doing with 1,000 bullets.
You want a quota
like,
on ammunition.
I like Chris Rock's idea that we should charge $5,000 a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
We should have bullet control.
But you can regulate them with that card. And what I'm saying is just keep track of them. And that way, ATF, everybody knows what somebody's buying. But my question was, John brought this up last week about the Mormons. John, I'm an ex-Mormon. I'm a Jack Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to get an invoice when I didn't pay my tithing. So I believe.
Wow.
They send you bills if you didn't?
No.
Really?
Sometimes, like the Catholic Church, they get a little pushy with the plate. You know, you just be like, no, and then they would kind of shove it at you again. But then that was it. You know.
And actually, by tithing, you mean giving to charity, right? Because that's what Mitt Romney boasts about.
Yeah. That's what they're saying. Well, John, I believe what the problem is why they won't release his tax information is because he probably paid more in Mormon tithing than he did in U.S. income taxes.
Or paid less, or paid under 10% in Mormon tithing, but hid his income so no one would ever find out.
John, by the way, I was always a prankster. Every now and again in church, when they offered the you know, the plate, I would say, no, thank you.
No,
oh, not for me? Okay.
I don't think you can say that to a bill that comes in the mail from the LDS church.
I would go to confession, and I would confess to impure thoughts about other religions.
See, you were an ecclesiastical scamp.
No, I tried to convert to Judaism at 15, but the rabbi said I was too neurotic to join.
Whee! Okay, here's Mittens on the campaign trail.
I don't know whatever happened to a campaign of hope and change.
Yeah.
I thought he was a new kind of politician.
Well, here's the ironic thing, is I think the Republican parties are hoping to change candidates.
Yeah.
They're hoping for a new kind of candidate.
Yeah.
Meaning someone entirely different than
Mitt Romney.
Someone who's not Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be funny if they sat them down, Republican? You know what? We're just going in a different direction.
Yeah. It's not you.
It's us. It's like all the showbiz meetings we've all been in. Yeah, you know what? You're so great, but
we're in another direction.
Yeah, we're going a different direction.
You always know a showbiz meeting is bad when they start telling you how talented you are.
Yeah.
You notice that? You're very talented.
Well,
really?
What are they going to say?
Yeah, when I was 24, I didn't realize that was a brush-off line.
You're the most talented guy we don't want we've ever seen.
You know, I've had Joel Hyatt call me a couple times because he's, like, the nicest guy in the world.
Al
Gore's partner.
Oh,
he owns
he's
Network,
a nice guy.
And I'm always like, I pick up the phone, I'm like, it's either really good news or really bad. So far, it's always been good news. But
good.
You're always like, yeah, Commissioner Gordon's calling.
He has the Steph symbol in the sky.
Yeah.
I see a giant S. What does that mean? Janet in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Janet.
Oh, good morning. Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, listen, I've been trying to, like, bring to people's attention that, you know, as usual, the Republicans are always throwing, like, you know, smoke screens up because they're diverting attention away from what they really don't want you to find out. Now, this is a guy who is bragging and shows off all these expensive pieces of property in all these different states with these big, expensive mansions. And, nobody has looked into his property taxes. Now, in New Hampshire...
Well,
right?
I did the story that was just out here in the L.A. Times a couple days ago about the lengths they went to get their property taxes reduced, to get their house... You know, they claimed literally 6 months after they bought it that it was worth 40% less. I mean, it really... And, you know, yeah, everybody knows that the housing market softened, but, you know, John, it's just one story. It's one sliver of to what degree that, you know, he's gone out of his way to try to not pay, you know, his fair share.
Yeah, and I equate that with patriotism, you know?
I
think that the most patriotic thing Mitt Romney has ever done was provide health care to the Americans living in his state, because real American patriots believe in taking care of the sick among us, because we want to save American lives. And that's what he won't boast about. And and instead he'll boast about things that he has no right to with Bain, which is completely unpatriotic, shipping jobs overseas. Mm-hmm. The guy's priorities are all completely backwards. And the stuff in his career, he should be... I think it's great that after 9/11, he went to D.C. and got on his knees and begged for earmark money to make the Olympics special for America.
Yeah.
He can't do that because his base hates every good thing he's ever done.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
No,
right?
Exactly. And I'm reading this piece. I think Talking Voice Metal put this out. How likely is it Romney paid no taxes? And the tax experts answer. This gets really convoluted, but it's part of the problem, Jim, that most of us, we wouldn't have any idea how to do any of this. I mean, the tax avoidance techniques that are available to people that have the kind of money that Mitt Romney has. Just some of the highlights of this. Under the terms of his retirement, for instance, from Bain, Romney's severance could have flowed directly into his tax-exempt IRA, shielding it from taxation for years and driving his effective rate down dramatically. Remember, you were saying the other day, like, how do you get $100 million in your IRA? How does to erase his federal tax liability this way, Romney would have had to eschew other income sources or figure out ways to zero out his effective tax rate on that income, too. So this is why, as his dad said, 1 year can be a, what did he say, can be a, you know, can throw you off if you only release one year.
Right.
And I always said that.
That could be an anomaly.
Right. Right.
Yes, but I mean the fact that it was.
An anomaly.
Exactly.
This is Tom Rokaw reporting.
Exactly. But the fact that it was last year, this is not from any of the years where he accumulated this incredible wealth and made...
Accumulated incredible wealth.
Thank you. One expert said, we know by 2010 he had something like $20 million in other income. So what they're saying may be true, but it has nothing to do with the $20 million on the return in 2010. That year, the 1 year he released,
right.
he paid almost 14%, which is still really low.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying these later years he had actual income where I think when he was at Bain, Harry Reid could be right, that he found a way to pay zero or almost zero.
Yeah.
Because
there's an easy way to prove Harry Reid's a liar.
There you go. Mm-hmm. For instance, if Bain bought company shares back from Romney's IRA, that money wouldn't show up anywhere. What's in the IRA is invisible on the return. I mean, a lot of these tricks, you're like going, really? How do you? Huh? But that, mm-hmm. but you know, John, you're saying, is that, at what degree, I'm not saying any of us wants to pay more taxes and we don't all use, you know, what's available to us, but the degree that it looks like he went to not pay taxes?
On an enormous amount of wealth.
Right.
And those of us who can easily afford to pay 3% more in taxes, some of us are decent enough to not mind doing that. The first time I ever paid, you know, that kind of tax rate was under the Clinton administration when I made, you know, my first decent year of money, and I was thrilled. I thought it was patriotic. I care about the country. And this isn't a liberal idea. This is a conservative idea laid out by the godfather of conservative economics, Adam Smith, in The Wealth of Nations back in 1776. People paying more money is conservative.
Did you see this cartoon with Romney standing there and it's, Mr. Burns from Simpsons and Duck McScrooge and Richie Rich?
And
they're like, you're making us look bad.
Scrooge McDuck. Overton has a line about how Siri thinks, he asks Siri about Mitt Romney and Siri thinks he's too mechanical.
I want to ask Siri, call Mitt Romney in La Jolla. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun, it's healthy, it's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Little pack of losers we are. This is what we do during the commercial breaks is we discuss the various characteristics of our dogs and cats.
Uh-huh.
And who's a Street Fighter? Boots?
Boots, you know, she came in off the street. I rescued her. And
kind of a gang cat.
Yeah, but she looks up at you and is all innocent and cute.
Then she flashes her gang signs.
Is she Crip or Blood?
I have no idea. Jazz always looks like he's up to something. He looks like he's always plotting.
My friend calls Fred the rapey dog because he gets a little bit rapey around her. A little bit.
Yes.
When I say Fred, she'll be like, oh, the rapey one? I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I carry a whistle when I go to your house.
Hal always said that Fred has an infrared ball detector because he always hits him in the left one. Every time. It's his way of saying hi. Okay.
So he plays for the French basketball team.
Yes.
Yes.
Or is it Spanish? I don't remember now.
A lot of scrotum punching. It's a new event, John, in the Olympics
apparently
this year.
What it's about is they're really sick of them taking dives when anyone gets anywhere near them.
Is that any reason to punch someone in the scrotum?
No, you know what it is? It's so eighth grade, like, because they said that they keep, like, pretending they get fouled.
Right.
And so the guy said, I wanted to give him something to cry about.
Yeah.
There is
so he
no
punched
reason.
Him in the nads. That was horrible.
There is no reason to ever punch anyone there.
Exactly. Thank
Never.
You, John. Thank you.
I don't
you.
Care who you are. Kim Jong-il, you don't get punched there.
Thank you. Well, thank you. The Stephanie Miller
anymore.
Show is anti-nad punching. We would like
thank
to go on
you.
Record.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We're liberal on that. There's
yes,
reform.
We are.
There's penitentiary. There's different ways
sure.
of punishment.
Sure. Okay. Donna in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Steph. The first thing I'd like to say is my thoughts and prayers are with the caller, Cordell.
Yeah.
And let's hope he has access to medical marijuana.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to tell you
like
what
we used to have here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. I want to tell you what the scumbag Republicans
dear.
Are doing here in Ohio
oh,
now.
Dear.
You say that like it's negative.
Oh. Well,
we'll be talking about that in Columbus next weekend.
Well, you know how they're trying to get rid of as many voters as they can here?
Mm-hmm.
All the counties complained and said, we need early voting. Taking it away is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
Donna, you got to tell this story because I saw this every county by county. Go ahead.
Yeah, this
exactly.
is on Coast today,
so,
too.
So the counties are evenly divided pretty much between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Yeah, and it's a perfect story of the difference between Democrats and Republicans. Go ahead.
So they all got together and they voted whether we should have early voting or not, and it was a tie. So our darling Attorney General, he was the tiebreaker.
He's a Republican.
Guess what? Yeah. Guess what? They're only having early voting in Republican counties.
Right. But Donna, there's a further part of that story that every board is evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats.
Yes.
And in Republican districts, even the Democrats voted, yes, let's have early voting. Let's
yes.
have more people vote. In every single Democratic-leaning district, the Republicans voted
mm-hmm.
no. So they're only going to have early voting in the Republican districts because...
Oh, no, they're not. We're not going to let them get away with that.
I mean,
crap.
It's incredible.
Me. As far as I think that, okay, Harry Reid's finally found his balls.
Yes.
The whole Democratic Party needs to. What most people don't understand is it's not just the presidential election. The Republicans have decided, well, let's start taking over from the base, from the bottom up. So they all get in this area right here alone, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, the Republicans have pretty much taken over. We need to occupy the voting booth.
Yep.
We need to go in there and from dog catcher all the way up, get rid of every single stinking one of them. Then we'll let the Democrats take over, get this country straightened out, and then it'll be a lot easier for Mrs. Clinton when she's elected.
Or Mrs. Warren. Or Mrs. Warren when she's elected.
Hello now. Okay, let's go to Jennifer in Chicago. Hi, Clinton Jen.
Warren.
Good morning.
Clinton
hi,
Warren. Hi, Jennifer.
How dare you,
Jennifer. Yes, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Quick ones. First of all, would you all please tell Mitt Romney that this president is not about to outsource his job to him. Just give it to him.
Yeah.
Why is he crying? Come out, the president is unfair to me. He's unfair. He's beating up on me. You know, come on, big deal. You're a big guy now. You don't step into the big arena.
Exactly.
Put on your big boy magic underpants.
Next thing, he's got the nerve to say President Obama should pull this ad about Joe Septa. This is Joe Septa's. This is real. This is what happens when you have good jobs and you lose your good health care. I don't care if it's 5 years. The man said his wife probably had cancer all along, but she didn't say anything because she knew he couldn't do anything. And by the time she said something years later, this happened. But they're not saying Mitt Romney killed this woman. No. See, that's the guilt part on Mitt Romney and them side.
Yeah.
Next thing, he got the nerve to say in an ad that when candidates find out that they are putting up distorted ads, they should snatch him. How dare him? That means everything that Mitt Romney ever put on the air, including himself running for president, he should pull himself. He should go somewhere and sit down and give his election to the president.
All right.
And last but not least,
yes,
would you all please, at some point in time in the day, talk to your Democrat party, because see, you all got the platform. We don't. Tell them poop butt Democrats to quit going on Morning Joe show. Ed Randell.
I'm with you on that.
Ford, Donnie Deuce. A lot of them going over there pretending like they Democrats, letting Joe Scarborough just talk all kind of doo-doo to them, and they I agree with you. Please talk to the Democrats.
I love you, Jennifer.
I love you. Get away from my future wife. All right, I love you, Jen.
If you do that, I'll be your future wife.
All right. Wow. All right. Hello. We got a top connection today. All right.
Oh, Joe Septic? Oh.
I'm going to send Joe Scarborough a message. You just talk all kind of doo-doo by yourself.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much his job.
Yeah. We always said they should change the name of the show to Shut Your Pie Hole, Mika.
Yeah.
All right. Here is Bill Burton, who is with the from Priorities USA, creators of this ad that she was just talking about.
What this ad does and what our other ads do, we've got Loris, we've got Donnie on our website, who talk about the impact that Mitt Romney had on their lives. I mean, when people look at those ads, what they take away from it isn't any of this stuff that you guys are talking about. It's that Mitt Romney thinks that his business experience ought to be why he should be president of the United States. But they see those ads and they say, no, that guy should not be president of the United States.
By the way, Chris, you know, the right wing obviously has gone insane.
Right.
First of all, I don't get the,
long time
she
ago.
Died a few years later. Well, yes, as our
caller... Well, it's not that he strangled her personally.
Caller just said, like, yes, that was part of what he said in the ad. She probably didn't say anything because she knew we couldn't afford insurance. She probably let it go too long, which is what happens in healthcare when people don't have insurance.
Or if you have pre-existing conditions.
Right, and then the other thing they keep throwing out is, oh, well, she had her own insurance for a while. How does that impact one guy telling his story about how...
Doesn't.
A company, and then what did I hear somebody else say? Oh, that plant would have closed anyway, even if Bain had...
Sure.
Like, well...
By itself. It would have closed itself.
Bain hastened it.
So his story is not valid because the plant might have closed.
It's worth it just to hear his advisor essentially say, if only we had Obamacare nationwide, a system like Obamacare, she would have lived.
To close this magical loop this hour, John, which there is a story out today that the Romney camp's such a muddle. We still don't know whether that's deliberate.
Yeah.
Whether she said it twice, whether this is a change in strategy again. And I think either way he loses politically. He just looks like a complete, I mean, either, and he's literally going to do the thing we joke about with that commercial, like, oh, no, I'm going to give you health care, but I'm going to do this with my hands. It's going to be exactly the same as Romney Care and Obamacare, but I did this. And now it's...
Exactly.
Really?
And he's walking around in clown shoes after 5 years of prep time.
Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH. 1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us, all their executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice D.D. Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller, or T-Bone, our new associate producer, Hottie.
Hooray!
On phones and drums. And what did I tell you? They show up and show a little leg for Mama. Here, show up. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I get to watch this. I have Current TV in the New York studio, so I get to watch it.
Sweet! Travis is wearing shorts today for Mama. Yeah.
Travis really? Is going to Fresno today where it's 109 degrees after I get off done with the show.
Well, Chris, how's it going? You gave him the only rule. Wear something tight and show up. Up for Mama with something tight on.
Yep.
Okay. So, Travis, you, now that we're on TV, are getting some complaint calls?
Yeah, we just had a lady call in from Los Angeles.
Yes.
She said that we need to tidy the studio up. It's ruining the magic. She said that we sound so professional on the radio, and we sound so crisp and clear and clean.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then she watches the show, and she sees us eating. She sees papers everywhere.
Yeah, being human.
File cabinets
human,
open.
Stuff like that.
Everything like that.
Okay.
She said
file cabinets are open.
Syringes lying on the countertop.
All right, listen, anal retentive lady.
Neckties in weird places.
Move the bottles.
I bring fish. I bring leftover fish so that Jim can do his Sean Connery.
Whole place smells like a whorehouse at low tide.
So there's a reason, Travis, that we do things around here.
Yeah. She said you aren't playing with your hair as much today as you usually do, though. So she was
playing with your hair?
Wow, is she taking
notes?
Whatever!
Yes. Anal retentive lady, okay. And then you also, it's alternated with the advice for me on my love life.
Yes,
my non-existent love
life. Today there wasn't much.
Really?
We haven't had a lot of love life advice for you.
Well, you said some lady called last week and said I need to work on my self-esteem.
Yes.
And I told you I can't do that. You know why?
Because it ruined the show.
No, because I'm a loser. All right. Travis, thank you. You're doing a spectacular job. Hey, John, he carried me around in my pool last weekend shirtless.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You hated that.
Well, you passed the test, Travis.
Yeah.
I'm going to look for a sexual harassment lawyer at my high school reunion this weekend.
Good luck. Good luck on what I pay you.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good friend.
All right.
Yes. The coven has glamored him.
Yes.
All right. Walk out so I can see your butt now. That's my boy. Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
That is a lot of magic. Look at that.
Oh, finally, a woman will treat men like meat the way they need.
Oh, God.
Chris is like, I don't know if you should be licking the side of his face like that. I'm not really certain.
You did try to slip him some tongue last weekend.
I don't think so. I think it was just one vector of his face.
Well, it was
so.
Beef tongue. It was his sandwich.
Oh, so. I see.
Okay. All right. That's because John Pigglesang is frequently in New York and too far away for me to sexually harass. I'm only on the road with him so often, you know.
I know. Oh, a boy can dream. Columbus next weekend.
Yeah. Ooh. Hello. That's right. You could get 2 tickets if you wanted. Wait for it, John. Okay, hang on. Drum set's going to fall down. Hang on. Oh, okay. There we go. Rocky Mountain
I've got blisters on me fingers.
All right. What? Looky, I got a hate letter and a love letter.
Oh,
looky
okay.
Here. This is from Ed. Oh, this is one that I've gotten
fish juice on.
You know, it's interesting because he has no subject in the subject line, and actually there is a subject.
Okay.
And the subject is you and the rest of the stupid bitches.
Bitches? Wait, huh? Hmm.
I guess that includes you too. I'm sorry.
I resent that. We are not stupid bitches. We're highly educated bitches, I'll have you know.
You and the rest of the stupid bitches in this country really think Obama.
Oh, I love when they do that. Oh, it's clever. He voted for Bush and he said Obama.
Is the answer? Stupid bitch. Is the answer? Yes, I do. Yes, I do think he's the answer. He's done as much as president as he's done in anything else in his miserable life. Nothing. The clown was elected
lazy.
Because he was black. And a novelty, and now he needs to be removed because he's useless. Ed, with surprisingly few misspellings.
And no punctuation, apparently.
No? You would say that because you're one of the stupid bitches.
That was Palin-esque.
Yeah.
Okay. And this, looky here, it's a love letter. John writes, hi, Steph. John in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Steph. Kurt needs to start displaying a health risk warning on your show. Maybe Jim with a voicer like on those dire disclaimers on pill commercials. Well, what a good idea. 3 hours of liberal sex every morning, totally satisfying and addictive, but exhausting.
Oh,
I feel like I need a cigarette every commercial break. Maybe a PSA on Fridays, directing your fans to a rehab group for us sexy liberal-holics to make it through this weekend withdrawal symptoms.
Huh,
it's true.
If only we'd thought of that.
Warning. Listeners like the Stephanie Miller Show have been known to suffer serious side effects, including but not limited to rickets, rabies, scabies, eczema, the heartbreak of psoriasis, hemorrhoids, hematomas, heebie-jeebies, gingivitis, laryngitis, halitosis, expialidocious, projectile diarrhea, Epstein-Barr, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, Steinberg,
Flavin,
undescended testicles, distended ovaries, and exploding uvula syndrome. Consult your doctor if you are pregnant, awake, breathing, or have eaten within 12 hours. Some settling may have occurred. Do not use near open flame. Seek immediate medical attention if ingested. Do not induce vomiting.
All right, thank you.
All right,
Jim. Wow, Jim just did that grab at the top of his head.
Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you. Oh, wow. You know, if you're having a really bad week, say you work for the Romney campaign.
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to make all of you scream. Well, it's certainly going to make me scream like the stupid bitch that I apparently am.
Sure.
Terrifying urban legend comes to life as spider found living inside woman's ear.
Yeah.
Canal.
Oh. Yes.
See? To my ear!
Captain, they put creatures in our ears.
Can't put creatures in our bodies, Captain.
I have enough trouble with insomnia. I'm never going to sleep again. What's that? That was spider.
Yeah, I saw a spider in my bedroom this morning. I'm like, that could be in my ear.
Okay, a woman who arrived at a hospital in China with an itchy ear. What is that? Itchy. Received the worst diagnosis imaginable. A small spider that apparently...
Did it lay eggs?
I've heard of webbed feet, but not webbed ears.
Hey!
And it had been dwelling inside her for the past 5 days.
There's a spider inside her.
Luckily, Dr. So-and-so was able to remove the arachnid with minimal invasiveness by pouring saline solution into the canal and waiting for the spider to leave on its own. Who knew the solution?
Wow.
You just make it unpleasant in there. There's
and
no
now the spider's
no
displaced.
Hostage crisis, no megaphones. Please come out on your own.
How?
Don't make us go to the saline.
How do they know that it didn't lay eggs in there?
Maybe it did. And she'll be back. She's like, it's so weird. It's still
like a thousand.
It's like the little Russian dolls. Like the little smaller and smaller spiders keep crawling out of her ear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I'm wearing a helmet when I go to bed.
Earmuffs.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my earmuffs from...
Well, better check the earmuffs for spiders before you put them on.
No!
Okay. Did you check your headphones before you put them on?
You put spiders in there, didn't you? Because you hate me.
I don't like spiders and snakes.
All right, speaking of deeply unpleasant experiences, Joe Walsh, the
douche
nozzle congressman.
Not the other one. Guy from the Eagles.
Yeah. Oh,
this guy
if there's
run
anyone
Syria.
I want to see defeated this election, this guy is such a dillweed. Oh, he is I love this story. Famously unhinged Republican Illinois Congressman Joe
Walsh.
Who wrote
that? That's not a news story. That's
Mediaite did.
Okay.
Oh, boy. He's under fire for remarks to supporters when he reportedly refers to President Obama as son. Which is a step away from boy, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, what a
jerk. He's listening to too much hip-hop, that Joe Walsh.
Yeah, he said he was talking about what he hopes will be the Tea Party's role in this election cycle. He said, there's something different on the ground. I think it's going to overtake us all again. It's going to overtake the political class. I think it's going to respectfully pick this president up and pat him on the head and say, son, son, son,
wow.
Mr. President, you were never ready to be president. Now go home and work for somebody and find out how the real world works.
Condescending much?
Wow.
Go home and work for somebody is worse than son.
Mr. Walsh, in the real world, people pay their child support.
Yeah.
Let me just point that out.
Look where you went there. Mm-hmm. And may I just point out, Mr. Walsh,
you are an idiot.
A jerk. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, how unnecessarily disrespectful to the president. And it's like he went right up to the racist line without saying boy. It's like, really?
Well, they're also
pat the president on the head like a dog. And
I think Joe Walsh is a bit uppity.
They're also close in age. So someone who's that close in age to you should never call someone else son.
Just,
you don't do that.
Yeah. And you know what? It's like which one's president and which one's a one-term congressman.
Exactly.
Okay? Let's keep our condescension in check.
And which one's ahead in the polls.
Yeah. Hello. Lynn and Amherst, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Steph and guys. Hopefully doing good.
Yeah.
First off, got to say real quick, yay Ann Curry.
Yay Ann Curry.
Go, girl. Oh.
That poor... Poor woman.
Exactly.
Only $10 million. It's a tragedy.
Exactly.
Aren't we like the opposite with Jackie Schechter? We're like Pepe Le Pew all over her. She's like, oh, get off of me, God, whatever.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Matt Lauer used to be okay, but now he's kind of, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of on her side, but that's beside the point.
Yeah,
you didn't enjoy watching everyone who hates her loving her and kissing her and saying goodbye?
Yeah. Hey, well, maybe they're probably waiting for an Oscar or something, an Oscar nomination or Emmy or whatever the heck it is. I've been noted, and maybe I've missed it, and if I have, correct me.
Right.
But, you know, we haven't really heard much from Oprah. And like 4 years ago, she was all over the place. Obama. Yeah, for Obama, for President Obama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now that it's the election season, it's like, I mean, maybe she's silently contributing or something. But,
she is. I don't know. I mean, I think you don't hear, obviously, as much in general because she doesn't have her show. And I think she's concentrating on OWN. But,
she needs to concentrate on OWN.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I don't know. I would just like to see her out there more publicly a little bit supporting the president.
I think that she felt like a lot of us that it was really important the last time because it was obviously a really historic election. So I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question, though. We'll see. I don't know. As the election year rolls along.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to see a lot of celebrities show up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I talked to a Young Hollywood, who I'm in charge of.
Alexis Bledel.
Yes, I talked to
On Tuesday.
I'm in charge of Young Hollywood. I got it out here, John. Don't worry. Okay, 18 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Me and the Braffs and the Zacks and all the other people out here.
The Braffs and the Zacks?
All the Twilighties people. Okay, 18 minutes.
What show is Alexis Bledel on again?
Listen, I had to get the whole Kristen Stewart thing. You know what? I'm Hollywood's top cop out here.
Gilmore By the way,
girls.
If Kristen
Gilmore
Stewart...
And
if
recently on Mad Men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
If Kristen Stewart could have cheated on Robert Pattinson with the LIBOR scandal, the U.S. media might be covering it.
Hey!
There he goes with the tipping of the buzzer again. 18 minutes after the hour from Happy More Fridays, as Google's saying on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, I am already having a fantastic time.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Said you want to walk me home from school. Well, I said, yes, I do. She said, I don't like spiders and snakes. And that ain't what it takes to love me. Like I want to be loved by you.
Like I want to have spiders in my ears.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. There's only one thing that make me feel better.
What?
Concord grapes. I was singing my song during the break like an 8-year-old. I love Concord grapes. I love Concord grapes. Concord grape season, it's my favorite. They're the grapiest.
Wow.
I have so little to look forward to in life. Just giving me like grape season.
Well, you'd rather have grapes in another form.
Well,
crushed and fermented.
It's a little early. It's about
you're having wine in
7 to 8 minutes too early.
Wine in pill form.
Christine in Massachusetts. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Christine.
Hi. Yes.
I just wanted to start off with saying I understand the importance for covering the presidential election and all of that. Like, I'm from Massachusetts. I know more than anyone. We do not want Romney in office. Yeah, period, I know. Bottom line.
That's why he's not campaigning in your state.
Exactly, exactly. He knows better than to come back to Massachusetts. We don't want him.
Well, I mean, Christine, don't you? I mean, isn't that one of the most indicative things you could say about Mitt Romney? Is he's going to hugely lose
his
home state?
Even his home state wants nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong. I understand the need. You know, America does not want him president. I get that. However, my disappointment has been, and it's not with any particular show, it's been with the media all around, is the lack of coverage about the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives has been the most ineffectual House of Representatives in history. They have a 10% approval rating, which should say it all. And the media seems to be letting this take like a back seat to the sideshow or freak show, which is Mitt Romney.
Well, Christine, I think people are paying attention. Have you seen polling? I believe the slightly higher poll rating goes to chlamydia than the Republican Congress. So people are paying attention. Oh, by the way,
what?
Here's something else. They're like super gonorrhea. Have you heard the warning from the CDC?
Yes.
The CDC super taking gonorrhea. All the fun out of sluttiness. Here it comes, super gonorrhea.
Great.
XBLidocious. Yeah, wow. That's kind of a buzzkill. Here it comes, super gonorrhea. The CDC announced we're down to our last effective antibiotic. They're calling it a gonorrhea epidemic.
I'm going to read it all about it.
Hey.
Hi. this is the way they explain it. If this is the Olympic 400 meter, gonorrhea would be Ryan Lochte, and our antibiotics would be the guy from Moldova. So that's not good news.
Wow, that's exactly the comparison I was looking for.
Isn't Moldova where that dynasty wedding took place?
No, that was Moldavia.
Moldavia, which no longer exists.
No.
Was a Soviet socialist republic, and now it's Moldova, and the rest of it is Romania or something.
Oh, okay.
Glenn in Wisconsin. Hi, Glenn.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you bunch of unrepentant hedonists doing? I have two things to say.
Awesome. Rooting for the super gonorrhea. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yes. One is a request. I'd like to be considered the official bishop of the Church of Gravity for your show.
Okay.
And the second is that I think that what we're seeing between Romney and Harry Reid is a schism in the a Mormon church.
Yeah.
That I don't think Romney's been paying his tithes enough, and they're going after him for it.
It could be.
Awesome. Awesome. Interesting. Well, you know what? This just in. Oh, look at you. Look at me.
What?
Speaking of Mormon man fights,
yes.
We're going to... We're going to have Marcos Melitzos on after the break from Daily Coast.
Oh, great.
Who broke the story about that, and it's his speculation, but that it's Huntsman. Actually, he more specifically, John Huntsman Sr.
Mm-hmm.
That is the unnamed person that Harry Reid says he found out about him not
paying
taxes.
Very interesting.
Or not paying taxes for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mwah.
Okay.
It's more the schism in the GOP that we're waiting for.
Mary in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi. I just had a comment. As far as this economy and everything,
mm-hmm.
I know how you seem to hate Romney, but...
I don't hate him.
Well, you know what? I used to be middle class, okay? I don't consider myself middle class anymore.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I have a handicapped daughter. My husband works. My bills are more money than what my husband makes. Okay, I guess I'm not one of the entitled people because, you know, we don't qualify for anything. Anything.
So you want to vote for the guy who gives less government and less help for the middle class and the struggling and gives tax breaks to millionaires?
Well, you know what? So, Obama... is not a millionaire?
No, but Obama's fighting to make millionaires pay more taxes and to do more for the working class and struggling people with the GOP obstruction.
Hang on, we only have 20 seconds. Go ahead.
You know, people can't survive. You know, his hope and change. Well, I think the hope and change is...
How do you think Romney's going to help?
I hope he's the next president.
But how is he going to help you?
Well, number one, I live in Chicago, okay? And we have a mayor now who's worried about chicken, okay? Makes remarks, but... that's okay.
He's worried about chicken, among other things.
Yeah, you're not saying what Romney's going to do for you.
29 minutes. Marcos Melitzo's next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You have to call President Clinton.
Out of the question.
Stephanie Miller
will never accept herself. She can't forgive him for not hitting on her during the 1996 Democratic Convention.
Spanish too thin.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, this breaking news scamp. Our buddy, our pal Marcos Melitzo of Daily Kos. Hey, Marcos.
Good morning.
Look at you causing scampery in the interwebs. I'm like, I came in and said, get me Marcos on the phone this morning. This is fascinating stuff about who Harry Reid's source is about Mitt Romney's taxes, right? And your headline is hilarious. It's John Huntsman Sr., right, Harry? But you make a really good case.
I'm pretty convinced this is the guy. I mean, who would know about Mitt Romney's taxes? I mean, it would have to be his accountants, and his accountants are not going to talk. I mean, they're not allowed to talk. It would be his family. You assume his family. I mean, nobody likes Mitt Romney, right? I mean, you guys more unpopular than bubonic plague, but you figure his family, at the very least, are going to stick together. The other people who would know would be people who manage finances with Bain, because obviously they structured deals in a way that it would pay out the profits to the partners in ways that protected them from paying taxes, right?
Right.
Turns out that the longtime managing director at Bain, the guy who literally manages the company's finances, is a business partner with John Huntsman Sr.
Hmm. Oh, dear.
So, suddenly, now John Huntsman, of course, his son ran for the nomination, was treated fairly shabbily. The Huntsmen are also Mormons. So is Harry Reid. The circle of rich, powerful Mormons, I'm sure it's a small enough one where they all know each other. Harry Reid and John Huntsman, the governor, would have worked together on regional issues. Nevada, Utah are obviously neighbors.
Marcus, during the primary, of course, there was story after story about how much Huntsman Jr. and Romney hate each other and how competitive they've been for years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, obviously. And so there's all these kind of factors. So the evidence is very circumstantial, obviously. And there's a BuzzFeed story this morning where a couple of Huntsman Sr.'s friends say it's preposterous, but it's his friends. What would they know what Huntsman and Harry Reid are talking in private? So until there's an actual denial from Huntsman Sr. himself, I'll take those things with a grain of salt. But so
Marcos, the one thing I didn't know in here is you talk about the Huntsman family gave serious scratch to Reid's reelection campaign. Why would they do that if they're Republicans?
Yeah, I mean, that's
makes it curiouser.
A good question. Because they're really good friends, and they're clear. They're golfing buddies. There's a relationship there. There's a strong relationship, strong enough that they're writing $25,000 in checks. We're not talking a $200 internet donation. We're talking pretty seriously sized checks. So the relationship there, the reason to know that information is there, since Huntsman is partners with the former managing director at Bain Capital. So who else could it be? At this point, really, who else could it be? I mean, I guess it could be somebody else at Bain, but at this point, and remember, you know, the hints have been there, right? This guy's a Bain investor. Well, Bain invested $600 million into one of Huntsman's companies. Now, has Huntsman himself an investor in Bain? You know, that I haven't seen yet, but Huntsman actually has an investment firm as well.
So, right, and adding, you know, as you were saying, to the circumstantial evidence, John Huntsman not going to the Republican National Convention. His daughter was just on this network on Governor Granholm's show saying she's probably switching to the Democratic Party.
Right.
Threw the Republican Party under the bus. I mean, it certainly is a lot of circumstantial evidence, isn't it?
Yeah, not only that, but the same daughter actually wrote a piece in the Huffington Post saying that Romney never would have run for president had he had to release his taxes. So she's already been on the issue of his taxes. Mm. So there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, but there's a lot of it.
Well, we were saying if this
really
were...
Yeah.
We were saying if this were a murder mystery, it could be virtually anyone because everyone hates Mitt Romney.
Yes.
But this
and that doesn't narrow it down at all.
I know.
but I mean, like you say, you certainly build a... I've taken to calling a Huntsman Senior Colonel Mustard because of your piece this morning, because I think it points to him in the library. But
what, you know, it was really interesting because yesterday one of the Reed, you know, and Reed's been playing this so fantastically well.
Yeah.
So I argue this morning that really he has to really be confident that his source is correct. So he has to have confidence in the source. And if it's Huntsman Sr., obviously that's a pretty solid source. But beyond that, he has to know that if the source is revealed, it's got to be somebody that the media and people are going to be impressed with. And again, Huntsman's a very respected person.
We go ahead.
But the final thing is he has to make sure people find the source, because otherwise he's going to have this cloud hanging over his head that, oh, well, you know, he played dirty politics. So he wants the source revealed. So he's been leaking every day, right? Obviously, it keeps the story going. He's done a masterful job of just being an incredible thorn on the side of the Romney campaign, driving Republicans crazy, which is fantastic to see them just scrambling. Now, remember, McCain had seen the taxes. He hasn't defended Romney. He's the one guy who hasn't come out and said the claim is preposterous.
And I agree, Marcus. He wouldn't have gone out in the first place, I don't think, without a credible source. And he wouldn't be doubling down to this degree. And I think the most compelling evidence is Romney could destroy his credibility and his career in a heartbeat by just releasing them. I think, you know, you're absolutely right that this would make his campaign implode, wouldn't it, if he actually released them?
Oh, absolutely. So now we're at the point where it's funny, because yesterday's spokesman, you know, again, drip, said the source is a Republican. And, you know, again, makes headlines, keeps the story alive. But what was really interesting is a couple hours later, he backs it up and he says, well, maybe he's not a Republican. And so, this fits Huntsman Sr., right, because the guy's a Republican. He was Ronald Reagan's chair in Utah in 1980, and he was also George Bush's chair in Utah. And then he donated to Reed last year. So, again, if he's a Republican, who knows anymore? The guy's all over the place.
Hey, Marcos.
The plot thickens.
Marcos, do you think that the White House has any say in this brilliant strategy of actually getting Mitt Romney into a slap fight with Harry Reid instead of the president?
I mean, other than cheering him along, I don't think there's any big coordination. And there wouldn't be. I mean,
really? It seems quite coordinated and quite brilliant.
I haven't seen, the coordination that everybody's talking about and everybody's talking about release of taxes. I guess but if Reed suddenly, you know, he's playing golf with Huntsman Sr., Huntsman says, oh my God, you can't believe, you know, this is why he's not releasing his taxes. Reed decides, oh my God, this is going to be great. I'm going to totally be a thorn on your side. I don't think there's any real coordination. There might be, I don't think there has to be coordination. This isn't rocket science. You got this kind of information. You have that kind of source backing you up, and a source who would know, given that his partner managed, Romney's finances for 12, 13 years. I don't think they have to coordinate. I mean, this is they're on cruise control.
It's hilarious. Like, look at this latest Newt Gingrich thing. You know, it's like, the people that have to be his surrogates that we know hate him. love watching Newt Gingrich because they play a different clip from every show from a Republican primary that he has to try and this latest thing, you know, they bring him out to say, you know, oh yes, the welfare thing is good, and then he actually now has to come out and say, there's no proof of that.
And now the Wall Street Journal thinks the only person that can save Romney's campaign is the guy that wants to destroy Medicare. It's just beautiful.
This is a good year. Now, and here's the thing. I don't know if you guys have been following the polling, but there has been this sort of disconnect between national polls and state polls. In the national polls, it was pretty much tied. You know, Obama had a 1-2 point lead. In the states that matter, as I call them, Ohio, Florida, Nevada, the states that will decide this election, Obama had good 6-7 point leads.
Right.
So there's always this kind of what's going on. And the operating theory was that people in the battleground states were more making up their minds because they were seeing the candidates more in television ads and campaign appearances. This, what Harry Reid has done, is he's nationalized the election. What was really people focused on the battleground states, everybody now knows about Bain. Everybody knows about Romney's taxes. And suddenly the national polling looks like the state polling. Obama's up 52-45 in the CNN poll, 49-40 in the Fox News poll, 51-41. In the Pew poll. Suddenly the national polling looks like the state polling, and the only thing that's changed, and at a time, remember, where the Olympics are on. Yeah. Supposedly, politics don't happen during the Olympics because people aren't focused on politics. Well, they have in the state of Harry Reid.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's spectacular. Well, now, the other thing we've been talking about this morning is this incredible, you know, I think the headline was radio silence from Romney camp about health care, because Andrea Saul, obviously, Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter calling for blood. She has to be fired. But now they're saying this is, she obviously said it twice. And then Romney started talking about health care yesterday and how he, you know, obviously has some experience in fixing things and yada, yada. I'm reading that Chuck Todd, Chris Eliza, Politico guy, all agreed this morning. It's pretty clear Andrea Saul wasn't ad-libbing. It was intentional. I mean, is this a campaign just in complete disarray? Is he really going to try to do that now? Pivot on health care?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
The only people he's got left that are pretending to like him, they don't really like him, but are pretending to like him, are the 35% that absolutely loathe Barack Obama and think that he's a Kenyan Muslim socialist, right? Go ahead and lose those guys, please. You know, add Paul Ryan, lose your senior vote. I mean, we might have a Mondale situation in our hands at this point. And, you know, at this point, I really...
Except Mondale won his home state, and Mitt Romney will not win Massachusetts.
Right, exactly.
Good point. The difference is that I don't think the presidential race is... I mean, we got to fight to the end, blah, blah, blah. I think the presidential race is pretty much over. But the more that Romney suffers, the worse he gets beat, the better it's going to be for Senate Democrats and House Democrats, more importantly, because I want Nancy Pelosi to get her gavel back. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important that, one, we realize that we're winning. And Democrats don't like to really realize that we're winning. Like I wrote a couple of days ago, yesterday, Peyton Manning doesn't pretend he's losing by 10 points when he's winning. He's running up the score, right? He wants to crush the opposition. So we're in the point right now. We're 2 years ago. This is what I felt like 2 years ago. You know, that we're like, oh my God, we're going to get crushed, right? This is what Republicans are starting to realize now. And there's nothing more demoralizing and make you want to sit out an election than realizing you're going to get crushed. Because then you just basically say, okay, screw it. I'm going to cut my losses. I'm going to wait till the next cycle. So we're at this point, we're demoralizing Republicans, they're in disarray, they hate their nominee's terrible, so now let's press the advantage, run up the score, crush them so that we can take back the House
This has got to be causing acid reflux this morning in Republican circles. The headline literally is Disarray to Unity, How Democrats Got Their Groove Back. But you're right, it's almost been a perfect storm of them having an awful candidate, you know, Occupy putting income inequality in the public consciousness to start with. And you know, I mean, it all is sort of a perfect storm, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to. I love to emphasize how important Occupy was, because in the Republican primary, it was that Occupy message that Republican presidential candidates were using. I mean, when you had Newt Gingrich and Rick Perry talking about vulture capitalism, not only did it
thing of beauty
in the Republican primary. And remember, Newt Gingrich won South Carolina, which is the most conservative state in the country. He won South Carolina by attacking Bain. Then the rest of the establishment sort of told him, you can't do that, and he backed off, right? But he won South Carolina on a populist anti-Bain message.
By telling the truth, which always comes back to haunt them.
Yep. Marcos, before you go, how does this tax issue play out, particularly with your latest scampery?
This is what's so difficult about Romney's situation. He doesn't want to release the taxes, and he thought that he could just get by, you know, maybe take some hits. This has gotten critical, and if the source is Huntsman, clearly, then he can't even hide behind the fact that Reed's source is some kind of disgruntled or uncredible person. I mean, that's what makes Reed's position so strong. That's why I'm convinced it's Huntsman, because it bolsters his case as opposed to weakens it to speculate that it is Huntsman. So, but he still thinks that no matter how bad things are now, and they are bad, I mean, he's cratering in the national polling.
Well, and that's why I agree with you that this is what Romney wants us to think, is, oh, this came from the Obama White House. His source says in the Obama White House, which is why I couldn't agree with John more strongly that this did not come from the Obama White House. That's why this is so damning, that I think it clearly is a Huntsman or someone like him, right?
So, yeah, no, and then at this point, how can he release the taxes? He would look weak. I mean,
he'd cave to Harry Reid.
He would cave to Harry Reid, and his base array doesn't like him. They don't trust him. They're angry. They vested themselves. I mean, I follow the right wing very, very closely, and they do not like Mitt Romney, but this is the one issue they rally around. They didn't defend him during his overseas trip. They don't defend his, you know, Ann Romney's silliness and the car elevators and whatnot. But this issue, they vested themselves in. And, you know, they're doing the whole, well, Obama needs to release his college transcripts.
Said the people who voted for Bush.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Marcos,
we got to go. Okay, Marcos, thank you, honey. Great stuff, as usual. Daily Coast, one of our favorite spots here at the Stephanie Miller Show. Honey, thanks for coming on such short notice.
Oh, pleasure. Anytime.
Keep up the scampery. Good job. All right. Love you. Bye.
Love Marcos.
Oh, my God. All right. 48 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Go ahead, man.
Little ditty about Jack and...
Stephanie Miller.
Two American kids growing up. In the heartland, Jackie gonna be a football star.
Steffi.
Debutante backseat of Jackie's car.
Oh, no.
What?
I'm not the backseat. Yeah. I'm a good girl.
Did you hear about John Mellencamp's son?
Yes.
He joined. Yeah, he joined the Duke football team as a walk-on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, who knew? Good for
Ain't
him.
That America? Anyone can. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wanda Roll's on the phone. We love her.
Yeah.
She is running for Illinois 16th District, I believe. Wanda, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, honey. How you doing?
I'm doing real well. I'm on my way to go see patients, you know, because today I'm working full time as my hospice social work job and campaigning.
Right.
Tell your story just briefly if you can, so people know who you are. You're running for the.
I'm running in the 16th congressional district in Illinois against Tea Party freshman Adam Kinzinger. Due to the redistrict, no official Democrat ran in the primary, and so I had nobody to vote for. So I had to convince the better part of 14 county chairs to caucus me in, and then get signatures and get on the ballot the hard way. Put together an all-volunteer campaign. No one on my staff gets paid. And
but Wanda, tell your personal story, because obviously we've got all this, you know, argument going on about welfare and government programs and yada yada. Just tell your story briefly.
Oh, yeah, 9 years ago while riding an ATV, I hit a sinkhole and, I flipped it and it landed on top of me and crushed my spine. It actually crushed my forehead, even though I had a helmet on, practically ripped off my left arm and broke my right. I spent 6 weeks in the hospital, 16 months in rehab. I had a full-time job, a part-time job, private health insurance, and I lost it all. And, you know, I was penniless. I divorced, got two kids, had been engaged for 6 weeks, and really didn't know what I was going to do because I'm paralyzed from my rib cage down, so two-thirds of my body doesn't listen to me anymore. So the social worker was great and helped me figure out how to apply for services, and I applied for everything. I mean, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, and I never thought at 32 years old I'd be on Social Security, but I was, and it saved my life.
Right. And, you make a great case about how, you know, this is what these programs are for, or for when people, Americans like you, need them and you use them. You got off of them, you went back to school, you're working. I mean, you know, and I think it's just these Republicans seem to be running against any kind, you know, it's like everyone on these programs is a slacker, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I heard that yesterday. I went to go talk to somebody, and they're like, everybody on welfare is just lazy, needs to be drug tested. And the actual, honestly, the people on Medicaid, most of them are children and the elderly. And we, you know, there are people who, yes, are on these programs. And, yes, sometimes there are people who break the rules. But if you look at it, we spend more money at the top, and we never means test anything at the top, but we always means test everybody at the bottom because for 30 years everybody's been told that the welfare queen is cheating the system and living large. Mm-hmm. And it's awful. Yep. You know, we've gotten very to the point where it's okay to talk bad about everybody and believe the worst in everybody. I see it every day, and it's incredible how we need to be able to take our house back because the civil discourse in this country is getting worse. And if we don't help each other out, it's going to become a place that we don't recognize.
Yeah. What a divergence in Illinois between douche nozzles like Joe Walsh and people like you and Tammy Duckworth. I mean, I'm so rooting for you guys in Illinois this year, I got to tell you.
I appreciate it, and I thank you. I heard you read my bio the other day. I'm rolling by it, and I'm like, what's that? You talked about me, and I thank you so much.
Honey Bun, listen, I'm rooting for you. Your bottom half may not be listening to you, but the top half is working spectacularly well, particularly your brain, and so that's what we need in the Congress. Yeah. And can you call in anytime, okay?
And what's your website?
Okay,
so what's your website so people can find out more and maybe donate?
That would be great. It's rollforcongress.com. That's R-O-H-L for congress.com. You can find us on Facebook. And, yeah, if they can donate $5, that would help us out because, like I said, no national PAC money. We are doing it on our own.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
So thank you.
Rock on, sister.
Thank you, guys. You have a great day.
All right. You
too, Wanda.
Love you. Oh, she's so awesome. She's just awesome.
Yeah.
Smart.
I want to be my representative. Holy cow.
Yeah, right? I wished I lived in Illinois. All right. We have a lot to...
We all have at one point.
Yeah.
Yes, we all have. We've all lived in Chicago. We got a Right Wing World coming up.
Yep.
We got an Ask Jackie, Jackie's Healthcare Corner coming up.
Ask Jackie?
What about Jackie's
Jackie.
Ask?
Oh, Ask Jackie.
Oh, okay. She's a healthcare expert. Oh, I hate boys. All right.
This is news?
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yahoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH12. Phone number toll free. Remember, happy Friday. You know what Friday means? Woo! Yeah, yeah. Sexy liberal John Fugel saying in New York all 3 hours.
Good morning, kids.
Yeah. You can say, see Fugel sang with me live along with Hal Sparks next Saturday in Columbus, Ohio, and very, very few tickets left for that one. Tickets going fast even for Seattle in September, and New York just announced selling like crazy at the Beacon Theater October 27th.
Whoa.
All four sexy liberals, Aisha Tyler, Hal Sparks, and John Fugel sang. And John Fugelsang, the man,
yes.
The myth,
yes.
The legend,
yes.
The dessert, yes. The dessert topping.
Yes.
Now the new show on what you call it? He's my spinoff.
On Curry.
He's moving on up.
On what you call it?
He's moving on up. He's gonna have his own show in the fall right here on Current Television. My spinoff.
We are very excited. Yes, I'm your George Jefferson. I'm your Maud.
Maud Fugelsang.
You're my Wheezy.
You're
I love you.
We're really excited. We will be somewhere in the primetime lineup on the later side, most likely.
Yes.
That's all I'm allowed to say so far.
Ooh,
we're having some very
night with John Fugelsang.
We're having some very exciting staffing meetings, and it's going to be a very interesting program.
Wow. Oh, you know, Kenny Pick writes, Steph, can I be a spinoff too? Don't forget, my show Turn Up the Night with Kenny Pick is now on WVKO 1580
AM. That's right.
Fabulous Columbus affiliate, where we'll be hanging out next weekend. Partially from the recognition I got by playing my bits on your show. Would you be considered? Would I be considered a spinoff? Yes.
Absolutely.
I didn't like Tops. I got Shano a job on. He produces Tom Hartman now.
That's
I'm
right.
Spinning yep. like Tops. All he is. All right.
And we're happy for each and every one of you.
Yeah. How long can it be before Jackie's Healthcare Corner is a full fledged show?
Yeah. I know, right?
We know that things did not come together till she sang along. We all know that. There she is, driving up in her colored bus. Good morning, Jackie Shecker.
Good morning. Can I do a little plug for John's little caffeinated series on YouTube? I watched a couple of those yesterday, and I will say that the latest one on the Kardashians, not only great, but also worth watching to see how you handle the hair.
Huh?
Hair. Your hair was animated in that one. And
oh, it's a bit... It's a bit manic, yes.
Yeah.
We call it caffeinated because I normally just drink about 2 pounds of coffee and then rant and scream about things. And I'm
like,
working with a...
It's like Dr. McDreamy's hair exploded.
Marty, we've got to get you back to 1985!
It was interesting to watch him rant about the Kardashians and manage the hair. It was definitely multitasking.
The Kardashians one is very mean, but I do the joke's on me in the end if you watch it. But thank you, Jackie. That's produced by Maker Studios right out there in L.A.
All right.
Good. It was definitely entertaining.
All right, enough sucking up to each other. Jackie, it's for you. There's a, we get letters. Jody from Chicago writes, only took 3 minutes to catch Fox News lying. That's a long time.
Yeah.
It's normally not that long to wait.
Hello,
hey,
they
Steph.
Lied.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Steph, my Fox News-loving Republican mom loves to tell me I don't ever listen to the other side, so I sat down with her to watch The Factor. Oh, that's love. That is love. Steph, I swear it took only a few minutes before I cried out, they lied! They just lied. My mother rolled her eyes. That's the Fox roll. It's more annoying than the teenage eye roll.
Yeah.
And asked with a bit of attitude, what are you talking about? The Factor was running a segment about how Obama wants birth control to be covered for women at no extra cost, and Fox News stated the government was paying for this with taxpayer money. Steph, I immediately told my mom that isn't true. The government isn't paying for this, but the insurance companies are, because it's cheaper them to offer free birth control than to pay for pregnancies that include doctors, visits, ultrasounds, hospital stays. This isn't going to cost the taxpayers a penny. Is this not true? Please don't say I have to tell my mother her beloved Fox News is right and her crazy left-wing daughter is wrong. I'll never hear the end of it. Please give me the good news. Jackie, it's for you!
Yeah, well, I can bring the good news. Right. I have no idea what he's talking about when he talks about taxpayer dollars paying for birth control.
Yep.
Unless, of course, you're talking about somebody on Medicare who's using birth control, in which case, God bless you. I'll pay for it.
Yeah.
If you're over 65 and you're using birth control still, I will personally taxpayer fund that.
Yeah. Well, for healthcare geek Jackie Schechner, this was like shooting a healthcare fish in a barrel. You're just like, ah, I got this. Boing, healthcare.gov, and you had the answer.
Well, because under the Affordable Care Act, basically they went out and they found out what preventive services would help women in terms of bringing down costs and also helping women to go out and get the care they need, the preventive care they need, and one, and a couple of things that they looked into, including, you know, mammograms, early cancer screenings, like for cervical cancer, HPV tests, things like that, was the ability to get contraception and birth control in particular, not only because of the contraceptive reasons, but also because there's a lot of health benefits to it. You know, a lot of women go on birth control not because they're having lots and lots of sex, but they're going on birth control because they do have a heavy menstrual cycle, or they have pain affiliated with the menstrual cycle, or they need to be regulated. There's also some cancer prevention involved in certain pills. So those are just some of the examples of why it is that they've taken a closer look at some of these possible medical benefits and said, you know what, this is worth it, both on reducing healthcare costs overall and extending benefits to women who otherwise couldn't afford them because there was a deductible or a copay.
Right.
So they're saying you pay your premiums, and this is private money that you're giving to the insurance companies.
Yep.
And the insurance companies have to actually pay for what you're paying them to have
which
access.
Which what you're saying is they're all sluts, is your point.
Yes.
Yeah, I have no idea where this government money thing comes into play. It's
Jackie, I just want to...
Let me just say, I join Rush Limbaugh in the misunderstanding, Jackie, of health care or of birth control, because I didn't realize you don't need to take a pill every time, but my excuse is I'm gay. I don't know what Rush's excuse is.
Well, he's thinking of Viagra.
So the other thing we were looking at, I mean, well, first of all, Romney's been doing this thing again about the president's like hurting religious liberty, blah, blah, blah. What? That's just completely untrue. Right?
Well, there's an exemption, right? If you're part of a religious institution or you're an employer with a religious affiliation and there is a reason why you don't want your plan to cover contraception as part of an employer-sponsored plan, you're allowed to be exempt from that. I mean, there is definitely a waiver for religious exemption. I mean, this is not an unreasonable administration, and they're not doing anything. I love when people have these conspiracy theories about how the administration is trying to somehow corral us all into this, like, free-willing, liberal, sex-crazed, religion-killing
sounds
society.
Good to me.
I mean,
sounds good to me.
We really just want people to be healthy, and we're trying to get them access to affordable health care. It's really just that simple.
Yeah, so Obama's forcing them to have a choice.
Yeah.
Right.
Just like a Nazi communist liberal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He's forcing them into capitalism.
Yeah. Again, he fails to note in the ad that the houses of worship of religious nonprofits are exempt from offering birth control, or that Obama rules closely mirrors a measure in Romney care.
That's right.
In Massachusetts, President Obama used his health care plan to declare war on religion, forcing religious institutions to go against their faith, the ad says, before drawing a parallel to the Soviet Union.
Well, here's what I love about that ad, is Romney doesn't want to talk about religion because he doesn't want to talk about Mormonism,
right?
Except he brings up the war on religion. He uses a clip from, or a quote from the Pope, who's Catholic.
Right.
Romney's Mormon.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. No, and then, and then the ad goes on. I mean, it's extraordinary. And then it goes on to highlight his trip to Poland, which we all know was part of the three-nation disaster.
Yes.
Jackie, do you presently have any information on whether a bear in the woods?
Yeah. Because it was the unions oppressing the Poles all those years.
All right. That was a
little... Yeah, if you keep needling her, she's never going to come back on.
Yeah, got me in the backseat of a car with Stephanie.
Yeah.
And talking about my rear end. I'm pulling my pennies with T-Bone for the sexual harassment. We're going class action on this, baby.
I didn't bring it up. They did. What? I was defending you. All right. Now, the other... you sent us this because I know a lot of people are talking about this. The health the New York Times piece, health insurer refunds may stall in employers' hands.
Oh, yeah. It's a little detail that came out in the original news, and because we all pay such close attention, people are shocked about it now.
Yes.
So when we talk about the medical loss ratio, which is the amount of money the insurance companies have to spend on your medical care as opposed to spending on marketing and CEO salaries and other overhead.
Cute, quirky commercials.
Yeah. Right, exactly, yes. Right, yeah. And fighting.
Flo and the
reform.
Gecko are mocking you. Those are your premiums, folks.
So it's called the medical loss ratio, and in private plans it has to be 80% of your health care dollar has to be spent on medical care, and in employer plans it has to be 85%. So a lot of people were getting refunds back, according to the Affordable Care Act, because that number wasn't met. Well, when it's an employer plan, the money goes back to the employer, not to the individual. So you may very well get a letter like I did from a past plan saying that we didn't meet the standard. It was United Healthcare. They'd get 84 instead of 85%. The money goes back to the employer. The employer is not required to pass that on to you.
No, in my case, I'm using it to lawyer up for all the sexual harassment lawsuits that are sprouting up around me suddenly.
Clever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing where that jar of pennies is going to go to you.
Sucks to be you guys.
She's going to pay us off in booze.
Yeah.
And dope. But go ahead, Jeff, because a lot of people are wondering their employer gives them up to 3 months and considerable discretion to decide how to spend the employee's money. So it's a little bit, it depends on also who paid the premium, right, in the first place, whether it was,
right, it's who paid the premium and then also how the employer wants to spend it. Do they want to just take an overall reduction in premiums next time around? Do they want to allocate it to a wellness program? It really is up to the employer's discretion. So you are getting money back. It's just you may not personally see that.
Yeah, Chris will never see the light. That'll never see the light of day for Chris. He didn't pay the premium, and I need it.
Already come to that conclusion.
I need it for wine. All right. So what should you do if you're, should you ask your employer? I mean, what's your recourse here if you're wondering?
You can have a conversation with the HR department, and from what I understand, people are making calls and asking around to find out. But ultimately, it is up to the discretion of the employer, especially if your employer pays your premium.
Chris,
it's up to them.
Yeah, Stephanie is our HR department, so Stephanie, ask you?
Wait, call me on my big 1940s telephone and let's reenact the scene right here. HR department, Stephanie Miller Show, yes, Chris?
Yeah, where's my insurance refund?
Blow it out your ass.
Well, that doesn't sound like a wellness program at all.
It is for me. All right, that was a spectacular Jackie's Healthcare Corner.
Yeah.
Sometimes
thank you,
blowing
honey.
It out your ass
you're
is
very
it
welcome.
Contributes to wellness.
Exactly,
well,
blowing it out your
done,
ass.
Everyone.
Right? If you need, say, a colonoscopy, I've just done a medical service, haven't I, Jackie?
Yes, no, that qualifies under the Affordable Care Act.
Thank you. There she goes, healthcare geek. New superstar. Thanks, honey. There she goes. Screw you! Oh,
yeah, what is my refund?
I was overexcited about my role there.
So you're our HR department, too, now, huh?
Yes, I'm everything.
Oh, God.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour. Back more Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was strangely arousing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, Fridays, with John Buglesang.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Holla.
Woot. In the,
sorry,
New
I'm
York.
Going all funky bunch on you.
Yeah. in the New York Bureau all 3 hours. All right. Scott in Jacksonville, Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Scott.
Yes.
Hi.
Okay. Real quick, I'm going to ask you these questions, and from there, we'll, it's really hard watching TV and...
Listen to your phone right now. Okay. That's all you have to do.
Yep. So I'm going to turn my back to the TV. Okay. Now, I believe a lot of good is on both sides. I'm an independent. Mm-hmm. But
you stumbled upon my show.
What's that?
You just stumbled upon my show?
No. Oh. I've listened to you many, many times. Oh. I drive a truck for a living, and I listen to both sides.
Okay.
And from there, it's one of those things that, you know, I was listening to the lady from Ohio before, and she was sitting there talking about the steel worker that lost her insurance.
Right.
CNN has already brought it up that that his wife had insurance through her job, which was 3 years later, blah, blah,
right.
blah.
Right. Yes, that doesn't change their circumstance as a family, does it?
No, it doesn't. I lost my job. I work for Roadway, and my son and I don't have insurance right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's just kind of one of those things.
Right.
But, you know,
It shouldn't have to be one of those things.
Right.
We can,
as Romney's spokesperson pointed out, if they lived in Massachusetts, they would have had health care.
Right.
All right.
It's one of those things that can be fixed.
Yes. It's not just
don't tell me you turned your back to the TV, because then I can make all sorts of immature faces at you. Okay. Jerry in Florida is a retired IRS. Hey, Jerry, welcome.
How you doing, Stephanie? I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm a retired special agent with IRS Criminal Investigation Division. I just wanted to make a few comments about Bain Capital and Romney's tax return. The right-wingers like Winblow and the Baxter are always trying to put a spin on the fact that Romney only paid 15% on 14. The fees that he got out of Bain Capital.
Right.
The Baxter's explanation is that this is a return on investment that Romney made in Bain Capital, and he already paid 35% on the investment. So he's paying an additional 15%, and that capital gains are not income taxes. However, I was watching on CNN Pierce Morgan interviewing Romney and his wife.
Uh-huh.
The subject of Bain Capital came up, and Romney stated, "We," referring to himself and his wife, "have never invested any money in Bain Capital." I suspect that as a CEO of a company, you can structure your compensation in the form of carried interest or stock dividends or whatever, so you're going to get the 15% preferential treatment, which should be considered ordinary income ethically.
Right. Well, that's what I think this whole discussion has been, isn't it, John? Isn't like what because we talk about this all the time, like what's legal and what's moral, and what's
exactly.
and as you made the further point, what's patriotic?
Right. Exactly. And you know, it was really depressing because I went out for the Young Turks and did a man in the street at Hollywood Boulevard a couple of months ago, and I was asking, you know, a lot of Republicans who were visiting Hollywood how they felt about Mitt Romney hiding his money, not paying taxes, paying a much lower tax rate than every working class person I talked to.
How do you say you believe in America and you invest your money in Switzerland and the Cayman Islands and Bermuda?
Well, here's the thing. The Democrats and the independents were all disgusted by this. The conservatives, to a person, said, if it's legal, good for him for getting away with it.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah.
Self-loathing.
Yeah.
They will defend a guy who was born richer than they will ever be, cheating on his taxes because he figured out a way to game the system, which he's trying to game
on
them.
And John, we don't even know if he was cheating. Maybe he wasn't, and this is just a further testament to the unfairness of our tax system.
Amen.
That people with his kind
of
money can get away with paying virtually nothing or very, very little.
Leslie, and it's why Eisenhauer was the last real Republican president.
That's right.
Leslie in Denver smells desperation. Hello, Leslie.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good.
You know, Romney is being quite desperate, and he is throwing the kitchen sink at President Obama. But what really scares me is that he hasn't tapped into all of his, you know, all the money he has because he hasn't clearly gotten the nomination. So after the convention, he can get all that money that's been donated to him, and he will carpet bomb President Obama. And I'm scared because it worked for him in the primaries, and I don't know that Obama's going to have the money to fight this.
Yeah, but you know, President Obama said that yesterday.
You've got these guys writing $10 million checks. You've got these super PACs that are just going crazy.
Yeah, Skeeter PAC.
So you know what? Every time a conservative hates Mitt Romney, go to them and say, now do you see how Citizens United hurts Republicans too?
Yeah.
Because this is the clearest cut example we've had. Our conservative friends have not been upset about Citizens United, but now we're seeing Mitt Romney bought these primary wins. He bought
the whole
thing.
And Mitt Romney can go out and they can do ads based on stuff like this that even Newt Gingrich has had to say there's no proof to this welfare attack.
Then Senator Obama was opposed to putting work together with welfare. Now he's president.
And just a few days ago, he put that original intent in place. With a very careful executive action, he removed the requirement of work from welfare.
No, he did not.
What a liar.
It is wrong to make any change that would make America more of a nation of government dependency. We must restore, and I will restore, work into welfare.
Lies!
You know,
it's like you have to lie to live. You're a liabetic. You have liabetes. Twice a day you have to take a shot of insulin.
This is the best Gingrich could do. We have no proof today, but I would say to you, under Obama's ideology, it's absolutely true he would be comfortable sending people checks for doing
that. So wrong. It's all lies. Bill Clinton. Clinton said that isn't true, and Romney's like, well, that depends on what your definition of isn't is.
More after the break on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They should market this to drunks, or us, or...
Stephanie Miller.
It is the...
Awesome.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, Sarah writes, there's no noise in Illinois. Yes, I know. I was doing a comical, mispronunciation.
There's no E at the end of Chicago either.
Okay, we understand.
Yeah.
No one says Chicago in Chicago.
Chris and Yankton did like our earlier line about Mitt Romney and who's the source, and I said it's like a murder mystery. Everyone hates him. It could be anybody. He enjoyed that very much. He said right now he pictures Columbo questioning every Republican in the world.
Just one more thing. When did you first realize you hate Romney?
Thank you, Jim.
You gotta do the eyeball.
Show me on the doll where Romney made you hate him.
Somebody tweeted this morning, Romney advisor on recent polls, if there was movement, you would see it in Rasmussen and you would see it in Gallup. We're not seeing it.
No.
Oh, dear. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kids? Yeah, why not, Ann? Why not? Kimberly Guilfoyle on
She's on the five.
She's one of the five. Mm.
One is a political opportunist, okay, who was out to make a name for herself to profit from this. I hope she's happy and she wants people to applaud her and she wants to be the heroine in all of this. But you know what? I think it just looks like it was very contrived and that she's an artificial person, not authentic.
Wow.
As opposed to
authentic?
Yeah. God, no, she's hard to be as authentic as the gals on Fox News.
Somebody once tried to put me together with her for a show. I'm glad that didn't happen.
Really?
Oh, dear.
I mean, she says everything in that tone of voice.
John.
It's just like, you know, this is why all they can do on Fox is just be ditto heads. And the reason why no Republicans respect Mitt Romney is because he's a coward. Because Mitt Romney will never come out and say anything that opposes the Republicans. When Barack Obama was running, he was talking about admiring Reagan, and it pissed off liberals so much, but it made people respect him because he wasn't just being a ditto head.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney will never say a thing that might alienate the Tea Party, and the irony is, if he did speak for himself and say, if he said, screw you, my health care plan worked, they wouldn't like it, but they'd respect him. As it is, they know he panders to them, and that's why they will never respect their nominee.
Well, of course you'd say that, and you're a communist.
Ha ha ha.
Lou Dobbs on the Fox Business Channel.
Let's start with this executive order, these fiats that he is becoming so fond of. An election may not be necessary at this rate. He's exercising these fiat decrees with such regularity.
I think he's pushing Chevy more than Fiat.
You know, here's some business news they might want to cover on the Fox Business Channel. This from Business Week. Economy might be gaining traction, new data suggests. After a spring and summer of weak economic indicators, a flurry of fresh data suggests key sectors of the economy might be gaining traction. Oh, dear.
Oh,
just as the battle for the White House. Oh, no. Good news for America. Bad news for the long, moribund housing market has bustled to life with prices of new home construction rising in recent weeks. Hiring so weak earlier this year picked up last month, and on Thursday, the government reported an acceleration of a downward trend in the number of people seeking unemployment insurance, as well as sharp improvement in U.S. exports.
Mm-hmm.
Together, signs point to an improving economy, potentially. Oh, dear. Mittens.
Aw, sucks to be mittens.
Mittens. Don't we have him on tape saying, well, of course the economy's getting better? What did I say? Okay.
I will have had done that retroactively.
Right, exactly. Okay, Rush Limbaugh on the...
I'm thinking, is there anything... A campaign ad from the past to compare with Romney killed my wife. Now, the liberals, and Sturgley just told me tonight, the liberals said, ever heard of the Willie Horton ad? Yeah, I have. A problem with the Willie Horton ad is it was true.
But GAC. Okay.
Okay. It this happened under story. Republican governor before Michael Dukakis.
Right.
And the same program was done yes. nationally by the Reagan administration.
Yeah. Yes. And again, you can take issue with whatever you want the issues in the end. The story is true. This is guy's story. And he didn't say Mitt Romney killed his wife.
He said he lost his health insurance because Bain Capital shut down the company he was working for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is also true. Resulted in the death of his wife.
Sarah Palin.
You know, we have the next few months where we're going to have to suffer through the constant lies of the Obama administration and the Obama campaign. What is shameful in all of this, Sean, is that a cornerstone of our democracy, of our republic that involves fair elections, is the atrophy of fairness in the media.
What?
The media doesn't, 90% of them aren't calling Obama out nor his campaign for the lies, including the lie in this latest ad that you just referenced.
That's not
what is
a
lie. What's the lie?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for her cosmetics infomercial series. It's going to be, you know, it's within the next 8 years, and she will be hosting her own cosmetics 30-minute infomercial.
Two, in addition, the pore reduction and is really spectacular.
It'll make you feel really good.
I'll bet you $1,000 she doesn't know the meaning of the word atrophy. She just heard it somewhere used in that context. She doesn't know what it means.
I bet. You're probably right.
Yeah, $1,000.
Okay, all right. Ann Coulter, gosh, she's back.
He is trying to get the stupid single women voters, which is the Democratic Party base. And I would just say to the stupid single women voters,
yes,
your husband will not be able to pay you child support. I mean, if Obamacare goes through and Obama is reelected, you are talking about the total destruction of wealth in America. It is the end of America as we know it. There will be no innovation. There will be no growth. Great, you'll get free contraception. You won't have to pay a $10 copay, but it will be the end of America. Think about that.
Oh, my God.
Did she just say to single women, your husband won't, wasn't, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, Stephanie.
What?
Your husband won't.
But if you're single,
you don't
have
a husband. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I don't
know. Pro-growth is how you know a Republican's lying. When they use that BS term that Frank Luntz invented on the poll one day, you will know that that is the latest BS term. Because that's what they say now. Pro-growth is going to be my drinking word for all these campaigns.
Frank Luntz was on the poll?
On the bowl, I meant.
Oh, on the
bowl.
Can we finish with...
Which one? Mika Brzezinski?
Judge Andrew Napolitano on Brit Fair.
I think the ad is reprehensible and unacceptable, but I also think it's effective. It's effective because it causes people like us and our colleagues on other networks and cable channels to talk about the ad rather than to talk about the real issue in the campaign, which is the presidency and stewardship, I would argue the failed presidency of Barack Obama, and the horrific economy and his promise. His promise that if he couldn't turn the economy around in 4 years, he doesn't deserve re-election.
They sound a little
panicky. He has turned it around. Yes. Go back and chase the Smurfs again. Look at the numbers.
They sound a little panicky in right-wing world, don't they? John, you were talking before the break about this whole, speaking of unfair ads. So even Gingrich, I love how the story reads. Gingrich, perhaps unsurprisingly, is not the most consistent surrogate in that he hates Mitt Romney.
Right. With the heat of 1,000 white-hot pointy suns.
He admits the Romney attack ad might go too far. He distanced himself from the language in the Romney ad. He said, I think if the ad makers had asked me, I would have said this makes it possible would have been a good way to... because it's complete, is what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
He
this
said, we have no
Gingrich
proof today, but I would say to you, under Obama's ideology, it's absolutely true. He would be comfortable sending a lot of checks for doing nothing. So just, he's saying, this is what's in the president's thought bubble. Sure, it's not fair to say that's what's in the welfare thing.
Yeah. Of course, this is part of Newt Gingrich's please hire me any news channel. Please.
Yes. Yeah, he asked specifically to respond to the fact the administration's memo requires improved incomes and putting people back to work. Gingrich doubled down. He said, I'll give you a direct answer. None of us believe them. So the actual thing that's in writing that the president signed.
That doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. It's what's in the president's thought bubble and ideology. That's his Kenyan ideology. That's what's the issue here.
Wow.
Okay. Ebony.
Digital is forever, man. History is going to record all this. This is how racism looks in 2012.
There's none of that here. Why? Because we're Ebony and Ivory. Ebony in Connecticut. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
I was just calling again. You ran the bantering, you know, I call them not news because Fox News, they're a bunch of idiots. Of course, they say things like Ann Coulter, the wicked witch, you know, like she said, single women, husbands can't pay them child support. If they're single,
right.
how are their husband paying them child support?
And how do we know that? Because we're stupid liberal women.
Yeah, like, I'm a Democrat. I'm 36. I'm married. I'm not stupid at all. You know, the problem is that the Republicans, they call Harry Reid dirty liars. They're the dirty liars. You know what I mean? They can't come to terms with that Obama is right for the job. Mitt Romney, if you take a look at Edward Scissorhands, that's who Mitt Romney looks like, always scared, always just looking around, doesn't know what to say.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, I've been talking about this story all morning. Disarray to unity, how Democrats got the group back.
Mm-hmm.
Last summer, yeah, we recall, it was just last summer. Remember the debt limit debacle was wrapping up? Not only we gave in to the hostage demands, and, you know, to prevent, obviously, economic calamity, but we didn't get any tax revenues. Not anymore. Fast forward to today, Democrats united in message and policy behind a narrative that holds Republicans accountable for the decline of the middle class, blaming them for rubber stamping the agenda of a moneyed elite that is abusing the levers of power to rig the game in their favor. Mitt Romney, poster child for that phenomenon. Don't you think that's part of it, John, that it's legislatively what the House Republicans have been trying to do, Mitt Romney being their candidate? It's like everything's coming home to roost, isn't it?
Absolutely, and they're paying the price. It's like, you know, this is what they wanted. This is the guy they got, and they're stuck with it, and they can't stand him. And it's really great because the greatest hope for America is to create a schism between the social conservatives and the Wall Street guys. The GOP's three groups, the Wall Street guys, social conservatives, and the guys who like Tom Clancy books, right?
I think there's a schism and a chasm, in my opinion.
There is a schism and a chasm.
A Democratic aide said it's a perfect storm. The president's making that a narrative, and then he's running against a guy who exemplifies the top 1% and who people don't like. You know, so they're talking about in recent weeks, Senate Democrats, they just passed a bill that ends Bush-era tax cuts on incomes over $250,000. And they're also, like, finally working with the Obama campaign. They've used every tool at their disposal. We talked about this earlier with Marcos Melitzis about they're working together on this tax issue on Romney, because it's not just, you know, his personal taxes, John. It's his tax plans, and it's the Republicans' tax plans that are
exactly
all the same.
And Governor Romney has signed on to the Paul Ryan tax plan. And again, you have to let your conservative friends, especially the seniors, know this, what it entails. It will get rid of Medicare as we know it, and you will have a $15,000 voucher to pay for all your care. If your health care costs exceed $15,000, then you'll have the freedom to buy private insurance plans. You'll be a 75-year-old with a heart condition, and guess what? Under President Romney, pre-existing conditions will come back once he gets rid of Obamacare.
Yeah, Harry Reid's spokesman said there's nothing like an election to help focus people's attention. They suddenly realize what's at stake. I mean, I think people are waking up and going, President Romney.
Yeah!
That's like an electoral spider in my ear.
Not comedians. I just donate to his super PAC.
The biggest thing that changed, there was a major shift in the overall environment when it comes to the tax debate, said the Democratic aides, crediting Occupy Wall Street, which is what we said this morning, for helping make the wealth disparity a national issue. People increasingly think the system is rigged to benefit those at the top. And, John, you and I were saying that as we were traveling around going to a lot of these Occupy things, as we did Sexy Liberal, and Fox News is mocking them, and, oh, they're a bunch of dirty, blah. We were like, yeah, well, guess what? They all said, oh, it was a failure. It wasn't. It changed the debate in this country.
Exactly, Steph. And you know what? Things got so bad in 2011 that people went to sleep in tents to protest how bad it was, and those people got called lazy. You know the reason why Occupy camps smelled bad? Because they weren't bussed there in Koch brothers-funded vehicles. Right. That's why.
There you go.
Occupy was the real thing, and the greatest hope is we have to get our conservative friends to realize that Occupy Wall Street speaks for them more than Fox News and John Boehner ever will.
There you go. 46 minutes after the hour, we're back with Celebrity Stack and the closing moments of Fridays with Fugleslang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh. I just snarfed oatmeal out my nose. It must be the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Don't forget, Mama will be on CNN this Sunday morning.
That's right.
This Sunday morning with Howard Kurtz.
Nice.
Reliable sources on the CNN.
With your Howie.
Love you on that show.
Thank you, Angel. John Fugelsang will be live on stage with Mama and Hal Sparks next Saturday in Columbus, Ohio. Sexy Liberal. Tiny, I don't even know if there's any tiny floaties left even. Maybe.
Can't hurt to check, though.
Couple.
Can't hurt to check.
Wanda writes, Steph, OMG, this is the Sexy Liberal grandmom and dog mom from Philly. Just ordered tickets for the Seattle show, booked my flights, and taking my handsome romantic dog, Czar. You and Chris and Jim and John make me keep me fall out of my chair laughing. Wanda, the Philly snow girl, is coming to Seattle. What's up with that?
I get so horny when I'm in Seattle.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that she's coming to NYC, the Big Beacon Show as well, October 27th. I smell Steph Head.
Which is a lot closer than Seattle to Philly.
Yeah, I maybe she doesn't realize there's a New York show. Okay. Okay. All right. Mittens.
I think Henry Jack Fugelsang may make his debut at that show in Seattle, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I think that might be his first Sexy Liberal show.
Are you going to hold him up like the Lion King?
I will not be doing that. No, I will not be doing that. But I think he may be backstage crying and ruining our time.
All right. I think Hal did that at one show, at the first LA show. Hal
yes,
held
he
up
did.
The baby Hal. Mm-hmm. With.
Yes, he brought out little Simba and held him up. It's awesome.
Exactly.
My kid's too heavy. I have Jabba the baby. It's horrible.
All right. Julie in Seattle writes, good news from Chuck Todd, who just interviewed Romney. We might get the zombie-eyed granny starver as Mitt's VP.
Great.
He said, I think Paul Ryan's the real stuff.
The real stuff.
Mittens, oh.
And did you hear that
Mittens,
the president...
Hang on, here is Mittens.
I certainly expect to have a person that has strength of character, vision for the country, that that adds something to the political discourse about the direction of the country. I mean, I happen to believe this is a defining election for America, that we're going to be voting for what kind of America we're going to have.
Yes, isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Yes.
I won't go!
All right. Yeah, wow, John, lash him to that Paul Ryan budget. Headline today, how the House GOP budget would decimate America's cities and states. Paul Ryan's budget would, in addition to all the stuff we already know it does, would also hit America's middle class in another way by decimating state and local budgets, according to a new report from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. I mean, that would be a thing of beauty, wouldn't it?
Yes.
To have it. That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also a thing of beauty because Eddie Munster will be trending every day on Twitter if Paul Ryan's running it.
And the president is going to be poking them with a sharp stick in Tampa. He will be blanketing the airwaves in Tampa during the RNC. They've put down $181,000 in ad time. Florida, of course, a swing state, so in polling towards Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, consultants said it means the Obama campaign is taking it to the Republicans where they live and plans to put up a big show of strength on the air while they're in Tampa.
And hopefully Sununu. Going for Republicans.
John Sununu, Romney surrogate.
If Ed Rendell or Bill Clinton or Mitt Romney or Mitch Daniels or Haley Barbour had been president the last 4 years, you would not have the problem we have now. They are governors. They know how to cut budgets. What this country needs is somebody with that kind of experience instead of avoiding issues, going in and putting the right policies in place. President Obama has failed because he really is a wuss.
Experience. Yeah, they would have done exactly what the GOP did. They would have cut taxes for millionaires and deregulated more. Wow, that's exactly what Romney wants to do.
Did you miss that? He called the president a wuss.
Mm-hmm.
How about
yeah.
that?
That's statesmanlike.
I'd like to see that one-on-one match on the basketball court.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just going to be beautiful watching Obama rip this guy up in a debate. I'm sorry. It's going to be wonderful to see.
How about T-Paw? Is T-Paw still in the running?
It's an honor to be considered. It certainly would be an honor for anybody to be considered.
Bruce just fell down out of boredom.
It's an honor to be considered to be a drag on Romney's campaign.
Okay. All right, a little bit of celebrity sack. Lady Gaga, here's good news, can still dance topless and have sex on beaches. She says she likes to feel a little irresponsible and act like I'm 19. She goes on to admit she even manages to roll into a bar, dance topless, or have sex on the beach without getting recognized.
Wow. And she's not talking about the drink.
I'm almost certain I've done that at every Sexy Liberal stop, haven't I? Child?
Yes. Yes, you're legally married to the front three rows of every show.
And Rick Springfield strikes a deal in a DUI case, won't be Jesse's prison bitch, is the headline.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Randy Travis needs a cellmate.
He got off easy in his DUI case. He threatened to kill the deputy. He cut a deal, wanted to spend a single minute behind bars. He threatened to kill the deputy and his family if they towed his car.
And the sheriff.
Wow.
But he did not threaten to shoot the deputy.
Yeah, that's probably how he got off. Wow. I don't think the rest of us could get away with that, can we?
Oh, dear.
Yikes.
Right, Mary in Tennessee.
But he did in a charming Australian accent. So.
Yeah.
Mary in Tennessee.
You're on. Pass.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
You know, all this crap with Mitt Romney, I don't think he believes a word he says because he's not really a conservative. All you have to do is look at RomneyCare, the only good thing he ever did. And when they come out and say how good it was, they all blow their heads off. They're like, oh, and it's just so stupid. He's not going to appeal to the conservatives. He's not going to appeal to the moderates. And I don't know why the Tea Party didn't just start their own party. I don't even call them Republicans anymore. It's all a big joke.
I think this RNC, John, is going to be a cluster of epic proportions. Because they all the speakers announced so far, they literally have a different ideology almost every
Exactly.
Issue.
It's going to be a lot like Vietnam because Bush and Cheney won't be there.
Right.
Except it will. But also, you're right, Steph. These Ron Paul fans are really going to let me down if they don't go over to Gary Johnson. How can you claim to follow this libertarian ideology and then support Mitt Romney the way Rand Paul's running for president in 2016. That's why he's doing
John Fugel saying, starting a Gary Johnson groundswell at the last moment. You scam. All right,
I'm on Governor Spitzer's show tonight on Current TV.
Awesome. And we will see you Monday right here on Current TV. Thanks to Jackie, everybody over at Current, Chris, Jim, T-Bone, John Fugel saying, we love you, honey. See you on Monday.
Bye.
Bye.